Hello, listeners, and welcome to Sherm Radio.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
To another insightful conversation on all things work with me, Archana Jarrett. Startup. Did you know an astounding 6.5 million startups launch each year, but only a handful enjoy long-term success, with more than 90% ending in failure? But we're not talking about those today. What is it like to be part of the 10% and how can you make it happen? So today, we're going to catch up with a man behind a very, very successful startup who is not only the co-founder and CEO of Farai, he has also won many accolades. He has been mentioned in the coveted 40 under 40 list by Business World, the top 25 software CEOs of Asia for 2020 by the Software Report, as well as the top 100 emerging voices of India by Your Story, and is also on the data economy of the 30 under 30 list. Please join me in welcoming Kushal Nahata, co-founder and CEO at Farai. Welcome to Sherm Radio, Kushal.
Thank you, Archana, and thanks a lot for that warm welcome. I don't think for a while I've heard all of those awards together, so it's giving definitely a good feeling.
Well, I am so impressed and so excited to have you on Sherm Radio, Kushal. And also, you know, for all our listeners, a little bit about Farai. Farai is an extremely successful startup which is enabling digital transformation in the logistics industry with a focus on customer centricity. But I think, Kushal, you can add a lot more to that than I can share. So I would love to hear very quickly from you, you know, what is the story behind Farai and what is Farai aiming to do?
Yeah, Archana, I can go as long as you want, but just to keep it short, look, we help businesses to do deliveries to our homes, our offices, be it Domino's Pizza, be it the parcel from Blue Dart, or let's say furniture from Wayfair. We help these businesses to ensure they do on-time deliveries, consumers like us get more control, and eventually helping brands and consumers be more sustainable in this situation.
That's amazing. So I have you to thank every time I get my deliveries, you know, in the best seamless possible manner. So thank you for that as well, Kushal. But, you know, we would love to know how all this happened. Where did the journey start? And I'm sure our listeners are dying to know what have been some of the opportunities and challenges that have made Farai what it is today.
Absolutely. Look, it's been a roller coaster ride and it still continues. I think this is the best thing that ever happened to me. It started way back in 2013. Myself and my two more co-founders, Gautam and Gaurav, we got together with this amazing opportunity of building this new category of intelligent delivery management platform. And if you actually think, that was the time when e-commerce businesses were just starting up. And physical, like delivery becomes the only physical touch point between the seller and the consumer. And you didn't have visibility. The deliveries were late. We as consumers wanted speed. We wanted more control. So that's a great opportunity. We thought, why don't we build a platform which can enable businesses to do customer-centric deliveries, provide Amazon Prime-like experience. And so it's obviously a long journey from 8 years, mm-hmm. but maybe two scenarios which I would love to call out, right? And maybe before that, I would say, look, I'm a firm believer that there are always advantages of disadvantages. And let me explain the statement when I say that, right? So we started in India, and as you would understand, India is fairly unorganized market, and logistics is further unorganized amongst multiple industries. And there are multiple nuances, right? Like business can have their own fleet, you can have crowdsourced fleet, you can have external fleet. It could be a same-day delivery, next-day delivery, time slot, like grocery, or on-demand deliveries like pizza and restaurants, right? Now, to address these needs of multiple businesses, a standard product wouldn't be successful. So we were kind of brainstorming, and what we came up was with our own programming language that can enable multiple use cases and drive adoption.
Wow.
And at that time, we didn't knew our goal was to onboard so many clients and address their problems. And today, when I look at it, it's actually one of the largest strengths we have and which enabled us to grow our business from India to a global journey and work across multiple industries. Look, the point I'm trying to make it is, I think each challenge comes with a massive opportunity. As founders, as startups, as team members, right? I think we have great opportunity to innovate and unlock new ways of execution. We didn't knew this will be a best strength. We just wanted to solve a problem of onboarding multiple business with different use cases. Like even when you go, there could be a cash flow delivery. It could be payments by multiple cards, right? And there were some scenarios where consumers would say, look, I want to pay part by my American Express card, part by wallet, part by cash, because there are some offers and I'll get a free movie ticket and those kind of things.
Wow.
So it's a very interesting, very high demanding market. But I think that eventually became our largest strength when we scaled from India to Southeast Asia, to Europe, to US. So that's one I feel like if you continue to look at the challenges, I think that eventually unlocks to be an opportunity. And maybe I'll share another example with you. This more recent last year, when there was we all were hit with COVID. It was extremely unfortunate, and I'm sure none of us had any plans or any thoughts what to do there. And I still remember we did a small town hall with a leadership team, and we were asking what do we do. And there were multiple different scenarios businesses were building. Like you can cut your cost, reduce your team, wait for the situation to become better. The most interestingly, what we liked was actually the team came up saying that, look, this probably will continue for a lot more than what we are predicting. And this will enable businesses to do home deliveries. It's actually the best time for us to scale our technology and our reach as well. And these were the two extreme odds. If you look at it, one side you're trying to reduce and the other side you're trying to scale. And to what it's worth, I think we scaled up business from then, like last 12 to 15 months. We have scaled up business multiple times in US. We raised two rounds of funding, the last one being $100 million led by TCV and Dragoneer. And all of it, this happened during the time of COVID or what's continued. So we feel startups or running a journey, right? The best thing is there are multiple scenarios you're going to hit and probably hit every day. Now it's up to you and your team to kind of make that opportunity or kind of sit back. So we've been the latter ones.
Yeah, I think it's been, what I've heard is so impressive, Kushal. It's been about looking at the opportunities and looking at the challenges and turning them into opportunities where, you know, others were struggling. So I'm so impressed. And I think, you know, I'd read a quote on your LinkedIn page where you talked about the fact that the best way to predict the future is to create it. So I think what you just talked about, you know, really you're walking that particular talk. So also want to know what is the future that you're working towards creating in your life and for Farai as an organization?
Absolutely. Look, maybe on that note, I'll share one quote. I actually have it as my wallpaper from Milton Berle, which is if opportunity doesn't knock, God and build a door. That's essentially what's been a journey. And it's been a journey of passion, perseverance, and extreme customer obsession, which we've had. In terms of way forward, right? Look, when we started with building automation and logistics. I think the journey is from automation and logistics to making it autonomous in the entire chain. And what I mean by that is when you and I go online, place an order, the journey from that order to getting products at your doorstep, all of it can be completely automated. Every single decision, when to deliver, who, how to deliver, how much time will it take, would customers be happy with the time frame, can we provide more value-added services in the journey. All of the decisioning, a part of it is manual now. It was 100% manual when we started, and I think eventually it'll become completely autonomous. So that's one from a category perspective. We feel and we feel super proud and super lucky. If we can take this way from automation to autonomous logistics, essentially helping every single brand to provide a delightful delivery experience to their consumers. In terms of personal goals, I think it's pretty exciting. And I think I have the multiple goals, but the top two, which I which I'm very excited and at the same time extremely committed to. So one is obviously making delightful delivery experience as a commodity where every single business can actually provide it. And it's part of it is selfish as well, where you and I can get everything what we want at our doorstep in a minimum amount of time. The other is, look, when we started, we just had a dream. We didn't know the path. We didn't know how big we're going to be. We just wanted to, we saw this problem and we want to attack. A lot of credit to where we are today goes to our team. It's essentially the team which is empowered. A lot of the journey or the numbers you were calling in the beginning, it's not because of me or because of founders only. It's essentially that has empowered us to reach there. So the second goal which I have is to create enough wealth for the team members who believed in our vision that they don't have to work for money ever again.
Wow, that is so inspiring and so wonderful. I think Kushal, definitely it's going to be for me, and I'm sure all our listeners are also going to, you know, now know when they place that, you know, click that small button on their phones and what really goes behind in making sure the right experience is also created, not just the right, you know, package landing up at the right place, but in the right manner with the right experience. So kudos to you and your team and all the people who, you know, make this happen. I think we couldn't have survived the COVID wave without, you know, these kind of experiences. So we're going to hold that thought. I want to hear a little more about, you know, how you work with your team. Very impressive. So we'll be back right after a very, very short break.
You are listening to Sharm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm in conversation with Kushal Nahata, who is CEO and co-founder of Farai, and he's been sharing some amazing insights, a lot of his learnings, challenges and opportunities, and how they've been working towards creating those seamless delivery experiences across different countries, the globe, as well as different kind of, you know, organizations from the consumer to the large organizations. Welcome back, Kushal, as well. Kushal, you were sharing a little while ago about how you, you know, want to make sure that you're giving back to your team and making sure that, you know, they are part of the success of Farai. How do you drive a culture of innovation, collaboration and entrepreneurship at Farai? And, you know, for all startups, this is usually one of the big challenges as well.
Yeah, look, Arjun, I'll be honest here. We're learning and we're learning every day. Myself, my co-founders, we didn't actually work anywhere. We just started directly out of a college. The way it was helpful was we didn't have any pre-notions in terms of how it should be. So we kind of learned and had a continuous feedback from the team. Like today, we are close to 600 employees. We've got offices in 7 locations. We've got 150 plus clients. And it's a journey of revolutionizing the home deliveries that we're kind of running in. I'll share like the broader philosophies that we look into consideration. One that we're 100% sure, and I can bet to most of these startups as well, that talents win games, but teams win championships. It's definitely a quote we would have heard multiple times. But unless you can have best talent of the world, but if they aren't working together, it's not the common goal, you really can't win. So that's one. It started at the top with 3 of us. That can 3 of us be completely committed to teamwork than anything else. Then the other learning which we have is you actually do not build a business. You build people and then people build the business. You're not best of the breed. You don't know how the logistics work globally. We didn't work in the industry as well. So once we saw the growth in the category, we knew we need people who are better than us, smarter than us, and they will actually build the business. And we need to empower them. It's definitely easier said than done. It's been learning every single day, every single meeting. But one of the topmost agenda for me is to meet people without a defined goal. And it's been learning. Some of the times it kind of converts to a relationship, to an engagement where we start working together. Some of it just stays as an advisory or a mentorship as well. But once you go out and explore, and I think I've tested it out, I'll probably call out LinkedIn as a great tool here. I've leveraged LinkedIn a lot, where for anything that we want to start or we want to learn, I'll definitely search for a few folks who've already done it or have called it out in their post, ping them. And initially, like, I thought no one would respond, but it's actually not that. Most people are willing to help. You need to reach to them and reach to them with the right question. And then it became a playbook for me and my team that anything you want to start, we'll actually ping few folks on LinkedIn, try to learn from them, gives us a good start. And then we build it from there. That's offensive on a meta philosophy. And I think when it comes to an execution, some of the things we are, we kind of run each day, it's not the entrepreneurs look who are building great startups. It's the intrapreneurs. It's everyone working as an entrepreneur that eventually changes the outcome. Now, one is 600 team members, 600 employees, versus if you have 600 founders, like, you'll definitely feel the difference the way company can grow. So we've been very particular about it. How do we stay as a day one company, make those smaller teams, empower them, give them the right goals so that they can go, they have enough decision making. And once you do that, the team themselves will innovate. They have high accountability. They'll have greater satisfactions. So that's one big pillar when we kind of designing it. The other, look, I think 70-80% of our active time we're spending in our work. Startup is not a 9-to-6 job at the end of a day. Mm. So we ensure we have work hard, party harder culture, where in terms of hobbies, in terms of interests, in terms of activities together, you're not just working, but you're enjoying. Because this is where you're spending most of your life. And if it's not, you're not enjoying, it's not worth it. Like, I feel it for myself and I say to everyone, look, if you're not enjoying it, it's not the place and maybe we should talk. There's no point in working without the enjoyment. I think the other element, we didn't knew it. So we knew that we'll do 100 wrong things before we'll figure out the right way. And that's the same culture we try to incur within the company as well, that it's okay to fail, but let's fail fast. We need to have more failures to be more successful. Mm-hmm. So if we continue learning from our failures and continue doing that faster, we can actually be better than what we were. And maybe this last, not the least, I think the other element which you're particular about is also about having enough rewards and recognition as part of your engagements. Specifically, I think with the remote work where we're not able to meet each other, not able to spend time, those smaller rewards and recognitions play a very, very big role. We recently launched a Founders Club. It was specifically for folks who've been the silent founders. The only thing is they never started the company day zero. They came maybe the 30th or 6 months or 1 year later, but they've lived the journey as a founder. So we created a Founders Club to recognize those founders, build a reward program for that as well. We launched an aggressive ESOP policy, which is extremely transparent, but also referring that how anyone and everyone can get ESOPs. And the intent of ESOPs is, look, obviously you create wealth for yourself, but more importantly, you start thinking as an owner of the company. Because that's how, if everyone starts thinking as an owner and looking at the direction, I think we've got the best chance to change the way deliveries happen in the world.
Well, lots of leadership lessons there for not just startups, Kushal, I would say, for, you know, leaders everywhere. You know, I have one, we're almost out of time, but very quickly, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, I mean, startups is, you know, a very, very big focus sector in India as well. The government is focused on it and everybody wants to be part of the startup story. But unfortunately, what we all hear about and talk about is successes. And that we all know that, you know, behind every one startup, successful startup, there are so many that just don't make it beyond the first year as well. So for somebody who's, you know, led a team to such a successful point, 8 years, you know, growing and doing the right things, what is your advice to young talent who is looking to either start their own companies or, you know, become entrepreneurs or work in this space with other startups?
Yeah, so look, first of all, I'll share, and that's my WhatsApp code as well. It's the journey, not the destination that matters. And startup is the best journey you can enroll yourself into. It's a journey of learning. It's journey of speed. It's journey of leadership. I think there's so much to learn in that journey. I really don't think the outcome matters as much as the journey here. maybe some of the things I'll still call out, like I continue to learn every single day. And I'm a huge believer that it's a continuous learning journey. It's where I would say if you start and if you want to learn and learn hands-on, this, a startup, either starting on your own or joining a startup, that's the best way to have continuous learning. The other thing I would call out would be running a bootstrap for a while. We started as a bootstrap, and as you would imagine, there's an enormous amount of funding today. Like, yeah. It's better to be an entrepreneur than an investor. That's the thing right now, and I hear it with most of the investors we engage with. But what Bootstrap does is it helps you to focus, prioritize, and pick the best bet. If you have a lot of capital in the beginning journey, you try to dilute yourself. That's where I feel starting the journey with keeping Bootstrap in mind can be extremely helpful. The third, I would call it as customer obsession. I think the biggest thing that helped us was being customer obsessive from day zero. Like every single board meeting we'll have, first we'll run it with customer status. What's happening to our customers? Do they love the product or not? And why it's happening? Till that time, you are honest, your team is honest, and everyone understands that. I think what to do with that data, it's easier. But maintaining that honesty and saying that, look, customer is our topmost goal makes it very, very simple for the organization. I think last, I mentioned this earlier in the session as well, I think speed and agility are the biggest advantages a startup have. Big companies cannot move at the same speed and they cannot be agile. So that is the advantage we should use to our best and move very, very fast and be agile in decision-making as well.
I think the agility is something, you're very right, you know, large organizations struggle with. I think that's something which is so needed across the board in the kind of world we live in, the kind of, you know, fast pace in which business decisions are made and how organizations are having to pivot themselves as well. So thank you so much, Kushal, for those, you know, really, really relevant points that you just brought up. And it's been such a pleasure and honor to be in this conversation with you. I've learned so much as well. And I would wish you and your team the very, very best. And I'm sure, you know, Farah is going to go from success to success.
Absolutely, Archana. And when you receive your next parcel, do remember to say thank to Farah and
yes.
the team for the awesome thing you get.
I will tweet and tag you on my when I get my next parcel. That's a promise.
Thank you. It's been wonderful speaking with you. I've been hearing your podcast for a while. I think it's been a great source in general to understand how different organizations are growing. And eventually, look, you're learning from each other. It becomes a good source for us as well to learn from peers and other startups and other companies in the space. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure entirely. And I'm sure our listeners are more enthused and have learned so much from you, whether they are planning to start a startup, planning to, you know, join a startup, or even, you know, if they're working with a corporate or doing anything, because the kind of stuff that you've shared, I think, is learning for everyone. So thank you, Kushal. And thank you to all our listeners on Sherm Radio, which comes to you in partnership with Timber Media Podcasters. Stay tuned, stay safe, and make sure you get your vaccinations if you haven't already. Thank you.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, Podcasters for India, Inc.